I'm always appreciative to be back home because there is definitely a an atmosphere here that is the product of the Spirit of the Lord that has been allowed to dwell and to function in the fullness of what God intended for this place. And you know, every time I weed the flower beds out here or do something out there, there's that rock that's right there in front of the building that I remember was anointed as a declaration that this is the place where the Lord's house is, just like Jacob did when he was at the foot of the ladder and saw the angels ascending and descending, where Elohim's heart was at the bottom and Yahweh's directive was at the top. And so truly he declared that this was God's place, that he didn't even realize it. But then he realized it, and from that point on, he had a different kind of relationship with God. And so we have made that realization that this is a place no longer just as CC at PSHJ, PSJ, PH, I'm thinking of post holes. But it is a place where God dwells, where his Spirit is invited to freely move in this place and to allow the heart of the Father and the directive of God to lead us into places that we had not dreamed of going. And so when these opportunities come to move in different ways than we've been in the past, we embrace it and we say, here am I, send me however it is. And we may not always know how that's going to affect, but we have to know that when we go in the name of the Lord, we're going to affect something. And that is a powerful place to live. And we are living this. We are moving in this. We have been growing this. And so that more and more of our life is dedicated to representing what the Father wants rather than pursuing something that would benefit us and cause us to feel like we were advancing or moving ahead or doing something that would elevate our value in the eyes of the community or in just ourselves. You know, we always have this internal clock that says, I want to feel like I'm doing something. I want to feel like I'm worthwhile. I want to feel like my life makes a difference. And we have heard testimony of people who are searching for that something, and they don't know what it is. They can't find it, and so they're driven to all kinds of things that is supposedly going to fulfill them, and they're not finding anything. So I am just blessed to know that the Lord is here. The Lord has established this place. That the Lord is doing something with us that we've never done before, but what he has planned for us from the very beginning of time. And so, you know, you just don't have words to describe that in the natural, do we? Because it is just so fulfilling. It is just so marvelous. And we have to know that we're making a difference, not only as a congregation, but as individuals. And those of you mothers who do a lot of cooking, some of you don't do a lot of cooking, I understand that, that's okay. But I'm not looking at anybody. Bob, you don't do any cooking, do you? See, okay. You know the value of seasoning. And especially if you're dealing with hot sauce, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, that little bit of wasabi that all you need is just barely a fingernail full and put that in. And it just transforms that whole dish into something that'll set you on fire. But you have to like that. And God, as it were, is in the kitchen. Yeah, He's in the kitchen. He's putting together the end times. And he's seasoning the end times with you. He's seasoning the end times with his ecclesia. He's seasoning the end times with the his spirit functioning in the full measure of who he is in those who will receive him and those who are hungry for more of his heart and looking to serve him with a great measure of all they are. So his recipe and his exact measurements have been formed from the very foundation of the earth. And he is always looking. That's why he's always looking for those who will be intercessors and partner with him. He's looking for that seasoning. He's looking for that part that will go and create a flavor, to create a design of what he's doing that will carry it through. And so we have accepted that God wants us. We've accepted that God is applying us. We've accepted that God is putting us into places that need who we are. And so, you know, when we think of this, we can see how when Jesus taught about being salt, that was a significant teaching of how we are being applied, of how of our integrity before the Lord, what he's looking for in us. When we give ourselves to be intercessors, we are becoming that point where we are changing the flavor of life. We're changing the flavor of what's going on in the territory where we are staying, where we have been assigned. And so I was at the 50-year reunion and thinking about their one of the key points of their message to the graduates was that this is not the end. You're not graduating to sit. You're graduating to move forward. This is the beginning of something new. You know, you've completed this part of your training, and now you're going to move forward and receive even more training by your experience of going into the world, not as laborers, but as children of God, as understanding the relationship that God wants to have. And so we bless that college because their idea is to transform students into those who will represent God in every aspect of life. And so we have been understanding this from day one, have we not? We are not here as the end product. We are here as being transformed into the new thing, to always going forward into the next thing. So it's kind of natural when we find ourselves doing the best we can be, to kind of say, well, that's who I am. That's, you know, I've heard this expression all my life. I'm only human. Well, yeah, that's an excuse for misbehavior. That's an excuse for not going forward. We are more than human. We are spirit beings, and we are in a relationship with the Father. And when in the natural, we do everything we know how to do, there is going to be a change in our surroundings. And so how much more when we are faithful to do what we have been commissioned to do in the Spirit, will we impact the spirit realm? No matter how slight or small our assignment may be, we really don't understand the full impact that we are having. And what we may think is a small assignment or offhand, well, you know, does it really matter if I do or don't? Yes, it does. And so we need to understand that what we do daily is going to be magnified. And it's going to cause some great measure of God's purpose in the spirit realm. And so in God's purpose, you are a lot. You're not little. You are a lot. You are more than what is needed at that point. This example is always shown in the scriptures. While Jesus was teaching, every miracle he did was more than what was expected. The feeding of the thousands. They gathered up more than than what they needed. And so that's just an example of how we can expect to be supplied for what is meant for us to do in the kingdom of the Father. And so you, as someone who has invested all you are in the plan of God, you are bringing out the exact flavor of what the kingdom of God is supposed to be. We are very much different than what has been considered normal Christianity. And so that means that you are functioning in a very increased, multiplied capacity that God wants us to begin to be aware of. He wants us to understand the significance of how we move daily, so that when we die to ourselves, that is a significant movement into what God wants, into that place where He can use us in ways that we haven't even thought about, but will impact the kingdom in great ways. So it is this kingdom that God has transformed us to represent that continues to function on the saltiness of intercessors as we function in the fullness of our capacity that causes us to be everything that is needed and more. So we have to realize that our influence on the kingdom of God is greater now than it has ever been. We have had significant breakthroughs. We have had significant understanding. We've had tremendous teachings. And over the years, we have moved in a greater measure of understanding. And that's just the beginning. There is more, but wait. We are functioning in the promise of His glory. And as we move in His glory, we're going to become more glorious. I'm excited about that. We are seen as this point of tasting whatever you are in to know that it is Tob, it is good. And you have become a lot in the hands of God. You know, I was talking to one of the professors. He was sitting next to me during the ceremonies, and he was just reminiscing about how people affect. And he said that he was a professor of logic, and one of his classes that wasn't exactly at that college, but a different college, impacted a young man who was absolutely brilliant. This young man was able to write books about the things that pertain to this kind of logic and things like that. And he gave one of the books back to the professor, and in the cover it said dedicated to this professor. And he said, "I had no idea I had that kind of impact. Had not here this book that had become an excellent book. It was profound. It was insightful. It was something that captured everything he'd taught him. And to have that book dedicated in for him, and it was just, he was said, I just couldn't believe it. You know, so we may never have a book dedicated to our lives, but we will have lives that are changed because of our dedication, because of our relationship with the Father. We are a lot for this world to handle, but this world needs us a lot. And so this is something that David captured in his Psalms that talks about our potency in the recipe of God's plan for restoring his creation. And so this is what brought David to bless the Lord at all times. There was nothing going on in his life where he didn't see God's hand in him. And this is what he says in Psalms 34, 7 through 8. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. This is a personal reality for each of us because of what has been going on in our hearts and our lives as we've been moving forward in understanding what God is doing in this time with those who are willing to give themselves in the place of standing in as mature sons and taking on the responsibility of representing God's purpose and functioning in his plan. And so this encampeth is the word hana. And hana indicates the concept of grace in warfare tactics. It is that point where there is a security that allows the forces to move forward in a very aggressive way to overcome and even surprise the enemy. Hana is the commissioning of grace upon you as you are establishing new territory on behalf of the Father. You go forth, and there is that protection of God's glory. There is that surrounding to where God is watching out for your mission so that you are in faithfulness able to complete it. God is not giving us anything that will fail, and he will protect what he wants done. And so, we saw Paul get bitten by a very poisonous snake, and it had no effect on him. There was that protection. There was that intervention of God in that position where Paul was able to go forward and continue his ministry, even though he was a prisoner. Even though he wasn't free to go where he wanted, he was a prisoner, and yet his heart was still functioning in this relationship with a father that was able to bless God at all times. And he had tasted the glory, and so nothing else was going to enter into his mouth. So we have to keep our minds remembering how the Lord values where you are and what you know and how you're making that application. He really is looking at you and saying, all right, here's where you are and here's what you're going to need because I've got a plan for you. So we need to look at our position and our what's going on around us and be aware that God is molding us. God is using us. God is putting us in places where we're going to have to deal with some issues in our own heart. And so his spirit is going to be speaking to us, showing us truth from the word that is going to bring us to a greater measure of our capable hands to partner with the Father. We put our empty hand in his, and there is going to be that creation. And so remembering how the Lord values our placement is going to empower us as a sure nail that God can trust will be there and will support what it is that he's called us to be and to do. So we need to keep this concept of God work on us no matter what's going on around us. And so that we don't compromise or give up, but we continue on because we are a lot. We are a lot of what God is doing right now in where we presently inhabit. each of us as the ecclesia of saints are the flavor of what God's doing. We go forth and we represent that saltiness, that seasoning. So the word translated as taste here is the word tama. And tama is more than just the sensation of flavor detected in the mouth and the throat when it contacts some sort of food or, you know, water or maybe Kool-Aid. But it speaks of perceiving or attaining an awareness, an understanding of some form of reality that God is bringing forth. To understand what it is that God has created from the very beginning and is wanting to be brought forward now, so that there is an activation of the things that are happening or will take place in the final days. What we see here is David calling the world to see the reality of God and to understand his purpose. You know, come and taste this. Come and see that it is good. Come and see how it was going to bring you life, bring you purpose, satisfy all the need for being validated that God created in you to experience. Come and experience the Tob. Come and experience the richness and the goodness of God's work in you and what he wants to do through you. God recognizes the value of where you are and has made us joint heirs so that we function in the family business. And this is the heart of who we are, is it not? We have been answering this call for years now, and we have been maturing in our responsibilities, and we have become faithful sons. And God has recognized that and is prepared to move us forward. He is calling us to do things that are going to demand remembering what we have learned, remembering who we are, remembering how he has placed us and why that is so. And this is where our writer in Hebrews encourages us as those who are a lot, in a way that speaks of the things that we're going to be facing daily in our walk as joint heirs. So we are going to be moving in our progression from grace to grace. We have understood that. And when we know what grace is, that carries a great powerful understanding of how God is going to supply and protect. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, he says, well, we're going to read through 1 through 6. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Remember Ken's t-shirt that said, slip happens? That was kind of funny. And that was a part of the teaching of a seminar we had. In verse 2, he says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. And we'll look at verse 6 in just a little bit. But what we're seeing here is a progression from grace to grace, from glory to glory. It is a... It is something that is requiring us to earnestly heed, to step up our attention. to become more anxious to make application to what we already know. And so this give more earnest encapsulates what that concept is all about. Because the word give more earnest is one word, and it's perissoteros. Perissoteros. Close to something like that. And it speaks of something that is greater than it once was. It's a greater intensity in our search. You know, us guys were famous for not searching well. You know, we go to the cabinet and say, "Honey, I can't find that thing you asked me to do." And they come in, they pull it right off. You know, it's right there. Oh. So we are called to examine things closer, to look longer, to look harder, to put it in perspective so that we don't miss and we're able to gain what it is that the Spirit is trying to bring us into at that particular point. These are the things that are continually being revealed to us. We are getting these magnificent teachings through the Scriptures about things that the Spirit is quickening that we need to know right now in the coming future. And so we have been blessed by those who are able to discern what the Scriptures are saying and are sharing them with us on a weekly basis. And we are able to keep track of those things. We are able to listen and to make application and make them part of how we reason, how we look at things, so that we're no longer stuck in a feeling or a an understanding that is outdated, but is still true. But there's more now to add to that. There's an expansion of understanding, and certainly, as we spoke in Sunday school this morning, this is what we're offering to people who will come and people we go to, is expansion of what they know. Remember who you are. Remember what you have, but look at what's here. Look at how this is going to be used now. Look at how God is going to bring you further. He wants more for you as you want more for Him, to partner with Him. So this give more earnest speaks of our daily willingness to build on the foundational revelation of our own study. Let God speak to you. You know, it's great to have these teachings, but it needs to be something that we mine for ourselves, that we go to the Word on a daily basis and letting the Spirit speak to us about the things perhaps that we've read 100 times and have known, and yet there is something more there that is more specific, that is more directive, that has a greater measure of responsibility for us to fulfill. And we must keep the pressure on to move ourselves forward, lest at any time we should then slip. That word slip, it really talks about letting up on our pursuit. Slipping will put us in an indefensible place where our feet will have no traction. I'm sure that we all can recall moments where we had an argument that really mattered to us, but we didn't have any real foundation for it. And so in the midst of our argument, we realized that we had nothing to stand on. That's a terrible feeling. And I hate to admit it, but I've been there a couple of times, maybe once. I'm slipping now, all right? Okay. Actually, the word slip speaks of the process of gliding by or carelessly passing by something we might be hearing It speaks of being carried away by an off-topic focus. Squirrel. Or to have some misguided effort that leaves off vital issues that cause us to miss the mark of what God really intended for us to have. God intended His church to be so powerful, and yet there has been so many things that have kept the church from doing that. And God is restoring. God is in the process of bringing the ecclesia back to its original purpose. And it only come when those people who are hungry for the Father are pressing, are looking for more. And that's what God has called us to do. And that's what we are moving in, that pressing, that looking for a greater measure of what He has revealed to us so that we can be true participants. So that we are not off topic. So we are not side slipping. So we're not just glossing over something that we don't understand. When we see those things, that's our challenge to dig in, to find out. You know, this walk in the Spirit with the kind of study that we have been experiencing and have been led to participate in has opened up understanding that in the old days, we said, I don't know what that means. We just gloss over it. And now there has been a revelation that has led us to a greater measure of participation with God. It's about partnering with God. Certainly that partnership will minister to people. And that's awesome. That's part of what will happen. But it has to come from our relationship with the Father, first and foremost. So we saw that this ministry of Jesus was constantly dealing with this point of bringing people back on track. He referred to Israel as sheep without a shepherd. And He came to minister to the sheep. He came to minister to the people who were supposed to be ready to receive Him as the Messiah. And they had gotten so far off track that they had developed systems of religion that had nothing to do with what God wanted. They were making rules that the leaders were not obeying, yet were requiring people to obey. They had the keys to the kingdom and then would not open the doors for the people. So, you know, that is still going on. You know, we have been given the keys of the kingdom, and we are opening the gates. We are manning the gates that have once been shut, and we're opening them so that they function on behalf of what God wants. And think about how vital that is. Think about how important you are to what God is doing right now and what He wants to fulfill through you. Because through your pressing in, through what God transforms you into, you come together and become the body with many parts that function together in unity that will accomplish even greater measures of establishing the kingdom. So we're seeing this happen in Brazil, and it's just amazing. It's astounding. It's blessing. It's a point of great thanksgiving to see groups of people who once were at contest with each other, trying to outdo one another, now in total harmony, in unity, functioning as one. Even though they're still separate congregations, they're functioning as one. I am so blessed by that. It just overwhelms me to think how much struggling was done to try to create unity, even in our own community, and it never happened. And now we are functioning in a point of unity that only the Spirit of God could have orchestrated. Because why? Because we are pressing in. We are moving forward in the way God has prepared for us. So this word from Hebrews is critical for the way we are to participate in a historic way. to be a point that will be recognized not by man, but by God as this is when this happened. When my beloved sons began to function in this way and carried out my assignment in this way, this transformed and brought a new chapter. This turned the page. This brought something that had never been done before to fruition. We're part of this. We are the seasoning that's making this happen. And I'm excited about that. I am so thankful for that. It blesses me beyond my comprehension. We have become so taken in by what God intends to do that it has become a way of life for us. We have been living this. And I want to encourage us to continue, not to let up, because there are going to be lots of things that, you know, the stronger we get, the more the enemy tries to think of different ways to get to us. He won't use the old ways. He knows those won't work. So he is still working. And we have to be those who will recognize and stand against him with the understanding of the truth. And so I just speak that this understanding is going to continue in you and be a part of how we are going to move forward. And it's going to be that point of being able to place our feet on the solid ground. So there will not be any slippage. We do not participate in any atmosphere of doubt or weakness. Amen? Our confidence is in what God is going to do through us. And to emphasize this point, the analogy is made about the steadfast logos of angels here in verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. You don't think about recompense as a reward. But it really is, because it's that point of adjusting our focus so that we are not in mistake anymore. So any kind of a work that puts us on the right path as opposed to the path that we wanted to go because of whatever reason is a blessing. Because that puts us in a place where we then can partner in a significant way as God has called us, and we are surrounded by his glory, and we move from glory to glory, from grace to grace. So this word steadfast really speaks of a firm beginning or a foundational point that will never change. So anything that comes against it will fail and will be under the curse. Anything that agrees with it will also be under the curse. And so when we are functioning on behalf of the Father, there is going to be this blessing. And so this being true, we look at verse 3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, this salvation is not how to get to heaven. This is really the provision, the great provision which at first began when Jesus spoke. It is what God is bringing to bring a fullness and a value to the work we do here on earth goes into eternity. And how should we run away from the consequences of doing our own thing and not follow the message, the logos, the foundational message of the angelic? We have to know that God is fully aware of our progress. Daily, He understands where we are coming from. You know, I'm not suggesting that God is, you know, standing in heaven watching what we do and saying, or, you know, sending a lightning bolt down to punish us if we did wrong. It's this understanding of where we're coming from. It's the understanding of what we need. It's the understanding of where we are deficient, where we need supplements, so to speak. We need that injection of His aroma, His spirit, His way of understanding, so that we are changed from the inside. It's not about activity. It's about what is behind our activity. Why we do these things. Why we are thinking this. Why it is that we don't go here. Why it is we have gone there. It is something in our in our heart, the steering wheel of our life. This passage speaks of how God is going to read us, and in reading us, know exactly where we need discipline, know exactly where we need sharpening, know exactly where we are ready to move forward. And so He understands the extent of our strength that we have gained through our commitment to pray in the Spirit. That's what James said. When we pray in the Spirit, we strengthen our holy faith. We strengthen our ability to hear from the right hand and to move according to what we've heard. So this is a relationship that through these past years we have grown to expect and to be thankful for. We are thanking God for His attentiveness to our the way we think, our motivations. And so as we look at the hinder parts of God, as Moses did, as God passed before him by covering his hand in the cleft of the rock, we are seeing how God has been working. We see how God has moved through us, has brought us along, has done things in our lives that at the time we thought was the worst, and now we know it's the best. And we give thanks for that. So you represent the perfect work of the Father. That is an amazing concept, that we represent the holiness of God. You know, the scriptures say that we are to be holy like God's holy. And so if we are to do that, then when the angels circling the throne say, holy, 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 they're talking about God's righteous work, which is in you. We are the righteous work. We are been made holy. We are the saints. We are the hagios. We are those who are representing everything that God's doing. And so that makes us His perfect work. We are perfect in where He has brought us to this point. Amen. And so we function in the fullness of what we know to this point. And we thank the Lord, and we press in because we know there's more. So this is significant in our desire to hang on and to not quit, not be taken off course, not to be lured away by something else. And God is perfect in His calling. He's not made a mistake. He's not misjudged you. He has not misread you. His calling on your life is perfect. And so what He has called us to do is going to be perfect when we answer that call and say, here I am, send me. I surrender everything I am. I surrender everything that I've done to this point, that I would participate with you in such a way that I would be the seasoning that you need for the kingdom to be as it's supposed to be. So our response to this call that God gives us is really an opportunity for us to go one way or the other. God says, I want you here right now. Will you come? And we want to be able to say, yes, Lord. rather than, you know, that looks too hard. That looks too difficult. I don't think I'm ready for that. God wouldn't call you to something that you're not ready for. So our relationship with Him is really going to be a product of our focus, our seeking after Him in a more diligent way, our pursuing, our pressing in. This is what we're being called to do. Everything that we've done to this point is always moving us to a point where we want more, where we are capable of seeking more, where we are able to set aside those things which are distractions. And we can see past the easy. You know, sometimes what God asks us to do is easy. Depends on where we are in our walk. But easy isn't always what God's looking for. You know, the enemy offers easy. So, you know, it's kind of like the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And so we want to be remembering how we have come to this point and remembering how it is that God's functioning in us. And in that remembrance, anticipating what's coming. Anticipating that He is going to continue in that same way. And so we look at what's going on around us and we say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to represent you no matter how bad this looks. And if it means this or if it means that, I will go there because that's where you want me. You know, Paul, he got into jail several times. So did Peter and John, and for preaching the gospel, the name of Jesus. And Paul was told before he went on one of his journeys that, hey, they're going to tie you up. They're going to take you off and you're going to go to jail. And he said, so if that's what happens to me, that's where I'm going to be a witness for the Lord. That's basically paraphrase what he said. So we declare that we are going to represent the Lord no matter what consequences look like is going to happen from that. Because it's that determination that's going to change the atmosphere. It's going to bring the flavor that God wants at that point. When we're faithful in that, what God wants is going to happen. If we slack off, if we slip to one side or the other, then what God wanted to happen is not going to happen. I don't want to be that. I want to have that sure footing that sends me forward closer and closer to the fullness of what God wants done at that point. So right now, I declare that you are the perfect work of God. You are here in the things that you know perfectly. And because of that, God will move you forward. And wherever there is lack, wherever there is not that perfection, there will be something that God is going to do to change that. And we trust that's going to happen. So I thank the Lord for His work on me. That where I am is not where I'm going to be tomorrow. That He is going to bring me forward. And there's going to be those times that it's going to be uncomfortable for me because I'm going to have to lay that down. So I can go forward, even those things that are successful. So God's perfect will is calling you to something according to the measure of your maturity, that you might move in a greater way in your relationship with Him and in the full measure of what He is bringing about in these end days. Your response is going to set the stage for His glory to be manifested. And so we have to know that God is going to be always looking at us, reading who we are, and moving according to that point where we are to a greater measure of our relationship with Him. Verse 4 there says, God also, bearing them witness both with the signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We, when we're faithful to what he is doing, the signs and wonders will follow. We don't have to try to manufacture them. We don't have to try to strive for them. It's not about that. It's about our faithfulness. And we talked about that this morning as well. And that is so liberating to know that if we're faithful, God will do the miracle in whatever is needed. In verse 6, he says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the word to come, whereof we speak. But one in the certain place testifying, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou hast visited him?" This is interesting because this is what David spoke in the Psalms. It's exactly word for word. And this word mindful in the Greek is menensko, which speaks of being able to recall all that is significant. And the word David used is zikar, and it speaks of making something so it is able to be recognized later. It's marked so that when you come across it, you say, "I was there, I knew that, this is what I had." And so this being mindful is to keep this memory, keep our minds fresh on all that has come to this point, so that when God says time to move forward, we move forward with that understanding. It's not that we get rid of everything, but it is that we are now in a place of where our feet are solid, and we have a path that is clear before us because of where we are. You know, it's kind of like being in an elevator. When we were at the Y MCA down in Cincinnati, sometimes the doors would open and the floor would be like here instead of even. God brings us up even for the next floor. And so being mindful, being able to recall the significance of what God has done in us, and to function out of that recollection, to function out of that a place of where we are now functioning, to move forward, to step into that place that is accessed because of where we are. And so we are able to recognize the direction of the Lord because of how he has prepared us. And it also speaks of our ability to declare his prophetic purpose, or recalling everything we have learned so that we can add to, in a prophetic way, what has been established. We thank God this morning for the fullness of his vision that is upon us. And we are thanking him that he sees every part of how we function. He's reading us correctly. He is ministering his spirit to us to strengthen us, to supply what needs we have, so that we overcome what the enemy is offering or what the enemy is saying. Jesus became like us in the flesh. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come with angelic power. He came as a human being in the flesh, and to do what God needed to be done. He gave himself fully. And now in our flesh, we are carrying this burden that God has for us. And he's strengthening us so this burden doesn't crush us, but this burden becomes that thing that we are able to move forward. Unlike the angels, we have been created to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It becomes our choice, our desire. It becomes something that we begin to crave rather than just being messengers or just being as a servant without a will. And so we are the ones to taste and to see the tov of God. And we see this in all the strategic places that he is sending us and that he has prepared for us. So I'm not sure this has been a great Mother's Day message. So I'll try to tie it up together with mothers. But we appreciate all that mothers do, for sure, because we have seen through our lives how their input has made us who we are. Of course, there's been other inputs too, but moms always have that special input. You know, they have that special look. You know you need to change when you get that special look. You know you need to stop whatever you're doing when you get that look. And so all it takes is that input from someone who is intimately involved in understanding who we are. And that's the way God is with us. He understands intimately the fullness of how we have been made. He knows the influences that have been on our lives. And he knows what is needed for us to overcome, for us to transfer from where we are into the new thing. So we declare a great appreciation and a thanksgiving for everything God has done to bring us to this point, because we know from here there is more. Amen. So, Father, I thank you that you have encouraged us to hang in there, not give up, not be looking for a different way, but to only seek your heart, to your way, that we would continue to be the flavor, the savor, the point of accent for your kingdom, that we would totally bring about your heart's desire, and we would find that as we move forward, that you are there providing everything we need. So we give thanks this morning. We praise you with all of our heart, and we declare our passion for you and our commitment to everything that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we speak these things and say amen.